We're going to read again. We've been reading these Sunday evenings in 2 Timothy, which I think is all the Bible's relevant. It's perhaps particularly relevant to these days in which we live and in the situation we find ourselves in our nation, in our church. And so we're reading particularly in chapter 3 at the moment and then on into chapter 4. And it's the first wee bit of chapter 4 that we're going to be thinking about later on. But I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 3. And verse 10. And again, you may know this is Paul's last letter. He's in prison. He's looking to the future. He's wanting to guard, as it were, the future of the gospel. And he knows that Timothy has a particular responsibility within that. So he's just encouraging him in every way that he can to remain faithful. So let's listen to God's word together. 2 Timothy 3 and 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. Amen. And may God bless to us the reading of his word.
Good evening, everyone. We want to thank God for this opportunity to be in his presence as he ministers to us, and we also minister to one another and to him. We are continuing with our series on 2 Timothy. And we are now in the last part of Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy. So today I'm going to talk about the weight charge. We have been learning a lot from this letter, but we have come to a point where Paul gave Timothy a serious charge, a serious instruction, a serious order, or a serious command that Timothy was supposed to remain and execute faithfully. So the verses that we read this evening from the second letter of Timothy, of Paul to Timothy, if we read the whole letter, we realize that this is the pinnacle of the letter, or this is the peak of the letter. the summit, the climax of the letter, it appears to me that this is basically what Paul wanted to tell Timothy. But he had to develop his argument well until he got to this. So we understand and we remember that he started in chapter 1 of the letter by affirming or reaffirming the validity of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He was affirming to Timothy that the message of Jesus Christ is valid. It is the power of God for salvation. So he was validating, he was reaffirming the validity of the gospel message from chapter 1. He also reminded Timothy that in preaching this message, his source of strength or power was God, the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That is what Paul was telling Timothy, that you are not on your own. You were not given the spirit of timidity, but you were given the spirit of power with which you refer to God as Abba, Father, your source. In chapter 2, he said to Timothy, you should embrace suffering in the strength that we have in the presence of God, with God's strength. You are going to incur sufferings as you pass on this message, as you proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. You are going to incur or encounter sufferings. You are in God's strength, but it is in God's will that you should also preach through enduring suffering. He also ordered him to prepare faithful men, just as Paul had prepared him or was preparing him. So Paul was encouraging Timothy to prepare faithful men who also pass on this valid message, this powerful message about Jesus the Christ. I think Paul understood the fact that success without a successor is failure. That is why he took his time to build up Timothy, to write this letter to Timothy, because he knew that success without a successor is failure. If David has been successful throughout his ministry at Inches, but if he is succeeded by somebody who does not uphold this gospel of Jesus Christ faithfully, then all his success will go to nothing, because success without a successor is failure. Some of you have been telling me about the powerful minister that you had when you were still in the West Church, then the powerful minister that we had before David, and now we have David still upholding this gospel. So this gospel has been passed on from one faithful man to another. It has to continue like that, being passed on. So Paul was telling Timothy that you should pass on this message to faithful men who will continue to pass it on, proclaiming it faithfully. Because success without a successor is failure. In chapter 3, Paul said, you have to prepare faithful men, because times will get worse before they can become better. You are going to encounter or experience dangerous times. Times will not be good. Times are going to be worse. They will get worse before they become better. So you have to prepare faithful men who can stand faithfully with the gospel message. Even in bad times, Timothy was supposed to follow the example of Paul that was set before him. Paul would always refer to himself and say, look at me, look at what I did, look at what I experienced as I proclaimed this gospel. So you have a good example to follow. You should follow that example as you proclaim the message. So you are supposed to stand upon the firm foundation of God's word. So in this chapter that we read, Paul then gives the weighty charge that we are talking about this evening. He gives Timothy a charge, a weighty charge, a serious charge. Like he was imposing a burden upon Timothy. He was giving Timothy a duty, an obligation, which I think we should also feel it. We should also accept the duty, the obligation, the charge, each one of us. If we are children of God, we should accept that duty. We should take the duty and the obligation to feel that the weight charge that was given to Timothy is also a charge to us. So he started in verse 1 by saying, in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. That's the simple charge that I wish everyone to take home. If somebody asks you, if you meet somebody and maybe somebody asks you, what did you hear at church today? You should just tell them that we got a charge to preach the word. We got a charge today that we should preach. Maybe we have been hiding, maybe we haven't been preaching, but we are reviving this charge that we should preach. Now, Paul was using a court language, courtroom language. Like he was calling two witnesses, God the Father and God the Son. It was like they were standing in court as witnesses, and he told Timothy that these two will be watching you. They will be seeing whether you are discharging the duty faithfully. Each one of us, God is watching us to see if we are faithfully passing on the message of Jesus Christ that we have believed ourselves. We have a duty that we are supposed to discharge faithfully. The duty to preach the word. Preach the word. That is the way to charge. God is watching every one of us. And one day he will judge us according to our faithfulness in discharging our duties. Preach the word. One day he will say, good and faithful servant. Because we would have preached it faithfully. There are some elders with whom I have breakfast every fortnight. And they encourage me sometimes with just some talk which encourages me. And we once talked about faithfulness in preaching, and one of them said, the word of God does not say good and successful servant. It says good and faithful. So you should not try to measure your success in preaching. Just preach faithfully. Whether people repent or not, preach. You have a charge to preach. It's not. Don't be discouraged if people reject the message. Preach faithfully. God will just say, good and faithful servant. We are just supposed to be sowers of the word. Our duty is just to sow. We have a duty to spread the message. Whether people who receive the message, it's not up to us. So we should preach. The charge is not sophisticated. Is not a sophisticated one. Lest one would say, I did not understand what was required of me. It's just to preach the word. To preach is to do the act of a herald of the king. To preach is to do the work of a herald of the king. Kings in ancient times had official messengers called heralds. They would go into cities and towns to proclaim the king's coming or to present official laws and decrees from the king. The herald speaks with the king's authority. That is the power and the authority of the herald. He speaks, he or she speaks with the king's authority. But the herald has no right to negotiate or change the king's decree. The herald should just pass on the message faithfully. His or her duty was to proclaim it in a loud and clear voice for all to hear. So that's our duty. We are all the king's heralds. We are expected to preach the word. We should be God's mouthpieces. We should not manipulate the message. We should not change it or preach simply what the people want to hear. We are heralds of the king. We should speak without fear. So what was the context of his preaching? We read this evening from some verses from chapter 3, which were showing the context of the preaching. What was the context and the reason for the preaching? The context was like what is shown on the screen. Where in a context where people would be queuing for comforting lies, and Timothy will be the one with unpleasant truth, and no one is queuing on him or for his message. They don't like his message. They are queuing for some lies, for some comforting lies. That is the context where Paul was giving the charge. You would think that in such a context, Paul could have said to Timothy, this is not the right time to preach. People like lies, so maybe you can just go and hide because it's not the right time to preach. But with people being like that, going for the comforting lies, a charge is given to Timothy and to us all. Paul says, Timothy, you should preach the word because the context will be like this. People will not tolerate sound doctrine. They will not tolerate accurate instruction, but preach the word anyway. The church will be full of professing members who are not saved. They will have a form of godliness, but denying the word, which is the power of godliness. And he explained why people would not stand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul gave a reason why people, unregenerate people, would not stand, cannot stand sound doctrine, why they love lies. It's because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, but the natural or the unbelieving man cannot accept the things, the teachings, and the revelations of the Spirit of God, because for they are foolishness. They are absurd and illogical to him. He is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and they are spiritually appreciated. So people will be going for lies because they cannot stand the truth of the gospel message because they are unregenerate. They are unredeemed people. So when you see that context, a context where there will be unredeemed people, it requires you to continue to preach because the Holy Spirit will be the one that makes contact with the unregenerated people. If you see people laughing lies, it calls for preachers to preach even more. You don't need to be discouraged. You know that God's intention is to raise people from their ignorance, from their darkness, so that they can come to his marvelous light. So the charge is that you should preach the word. People will not be able to stand sound doctrine. Right now, even in our context, we know that they are no longer able. They are still unable to stand it. In the church, people cannot stand sound doctrine. They cannot tolerate any sermon that challenges them with God's truth. They will accumulate to themselves many teachers, one after the other. These are church people who are being described. They will accumulate to themselves many teachers. They will accumulate more of the other teachers, those other teachers who don't preach the truth of the gospel. Teachers will be chosen to satisfy their own desires. People will be choosing teachers who satisfy their own desires and to support their errors. They will be believing errors, and they gather people who can preach in support of such errors. They will accept the unacceptable. In such a context, the charge is preach the word. When radical feminists reject the God who is a father, preach the word about God the Father. When the church accepts or embraces or promotes sexual immorality, preach the word. When the unredeemed church heaps up unredeemed preachers, much to the church's detriment, preach the word. That's the charge. When faithful preachers and preaching becomes hard to find, preach the word, Timothy. We are the Timothy of today. We should not feel discouraged by our context. We are supposed to preach the word. Why do we have to continue preaching the word when people cannot stand it? When I was thinking about this, I thought about our situation of the COVID-19 pandemic. When there is a pandemic, we need more health workers and not less. We need more doctors and more nurses. We can even hire expatriates and we bear the problem of accents as long as they fight the pandemic. There is a pandemic of lies in the church and in the world. People are claiming to have a bit more enlightenment than what the Bible has to say. People are claiming to be able to improve on God's word. They do not tolerate the truth. They want some truth that suits their situations. They want some message that suits what they feel, that suits what works for them. They gather viewpoints to suit their selfish desires. Their defense is that their viewpoints suits their desires. The teachers who support their viewpoints are very popular with them. But that as it may, we have to preach the word faithfully. Paul said to Timothy, "Be ready to preach in season and out of season," which means use every opportunity to preach the word. Share the word when it is popular and when it is unpopular. Share it when it is expected and when it's unexpected. Preach when it's convenient and when it inconveniences you. We realize that it is easy to find excuses where we are supposed to look for opportunities to preach. We can say this is not the right season or the right time to preach, Paul says, preach out of season and in season. Because that is what he did during his time. Paul always found an opportunity to share the word, whether it was in the temple courts, on stormy seas, or even in prison. Seems like he knew that the word of God says, he who observes the wind, or he who waits for all the conditions to be perfect, will not sow. And he who looks at the clouds will not reap a harvest. With this charge that we have, the weight charge to preach, we should be like a soldier who is ready to go for battle at a moment's notice. The agents of this charge or of the message of Jesus Christ, it comes from the fact that we cannot be silenced because we have the King's message. It is a message of life and death. That's why it's so urgent. We cannot say this season we cannot preach because it's a message of life and death. It is a message of judgment and reward. So those who haven't given their lives to Christ are facing a real hell. So we should preach because people are facing hell. Those who are discouraged need to be encouraged so that they can begin to walk in God's call. So how do we preach? Paul said to Timothy, the word of God is, all scripture is God-breathed. Which means it is effective, it is profitable, it works. So he says to him in the passage that we read in chapter 4 of his letter to Timothy, he said, we should use the word of God, you should use the scriptures to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. What is to reprove? To reprove is to correct or convince. That is to use the word of God intellectually. You should study the word to prepare yourself so that you can present your arguments in a convincing manner. Sometimes people doubt God or they doubt some doctrine. They just need a clear explanation. They need to be convinced. So that is reproving, correcting, convincing. So we should convince people's minds and shore up their faith. To remove doubts, we should convince them and shore up their faith. That is what Paul was saying to Timothy. You should study so that you can divide the message, simplify it, explain it, clarify it, so that people are convinced. You should also rebuke. What is to rebuke? Rebuke has to do with morality. Rebuke is moral rather than intellectual. Use the word of God to show people where they are wrong and where they need to repent. So a rebuke speaks to people's conscience. You should use this word to speak to people's conscience, so that when they are wrong, they can turn from their wrong ways and come to God. So you should study to be able to see where people are wrong and use the word of God to rebuke them. He also said you should exhort. An exhortation speaks to one's emotions. It can be translated as an encouragement or an admonition. Sometimes people are worn down and discouraged. They want to give up on God or they want to give up on the church. They need the word. They need the word. So we should preach. We should preach in season and out of season. using the word of God to speak to people's mind, that is reproving. To speak to people's conscience, that is rebuking. To speak to people's hearts, that is exhorting, encouraging them. The last verse that we read, Paul was encouraging Timothy to preach with perseverance. You are saying, Timothy, be different. Be different, Timothy. Persevere in preaching despite the antagonism. Be self-controlled. The Bible actually said, keep your head or be sober. It's very difficult to serve in a church which is saturated with false teachings and false believers. It brings a lot of pain and bitterness. So Paul was saying to Timothy, be ready for such pains, but persevere in preaching. If you are not sober in a church where people are now accepting everything or anything, people are accepting false teachings or false doctrines, if you are not sober, you will be taken off guard by the criticisms and attacks. So you end up losing your equilibrium. You get swallowed up by discouragement, or you get swallowed up by pessimism, or anger, or bitterness. So Paul was saying, keep your head. We are in a context that could be so discouraging. Keep your head. And thanking God that we have, God gave us a message that is valid. All scripture is God-breathed. We have a message that is genuine. We have a message that saves. We should stand like Paul when he wrote to the Romans. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God to save everyone that believes. Starting from the Jew and to the Gentile. So we should keep our head. When you know that you have the truth, it's easy to keep your head because you know that what I have is so precious. Only that my neighbor doesn't know. So when the people are running or rushing for lies, for comforting lies, when they seem to be rejecting your message, but still you know that the message is true, it's easy to keep your head. You don't get discouraged, don't get swallowed by discouragements. You should persevere because you know that you are speaking the truth. Keep your head. Endure hardship. So that was the charge, the weight charge. We have a charge. I said when we get to our front lines, when we get home, when we go to work, and people ask us about what we had at church in the evening, we should know that we received a charge, a command, an instruction to preach, not to come onto this lectern, to preach wherever we are going. Preach. We are people with a message. We should preach. We should have the obligation to go and preach. This letter was just written to one person. But at least this message is being received by many. We are not few. We are many. If each one of us could just go and preach to one person, just take the obligation and say, I want to go and preach. We are not saying go and make them repent. No, just preach. Whether they reject it or not, preach. It should be each one of us prayer that, God, give me wisdom to go and preach. Give me wisdom to go and approach my neighbor who does not know this message about Jesus Christ. How can I approach that other person with the message? Just go and preach. At least to one person, you should carry the charge. Preach in season and out of season. Let's go and preach. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for breathing out your word. Thank you for having it printed for us. Thank you that your word endures forever. Thank you for giving us a truth that is timeless. We want to thank you that you put it upon us that we should preach, pass on, proclaim the message of the good news about Jesus Christ. Help us to be the heralds of the King. Help us to be faithful heralds of the King. We thank you, Father, for this message. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each one of us who have invested their time to come and listen to your word. Help us, Holy Spirit, to go and be faithful preachers, be faithful heralds of our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. We thank you and pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.